I was going to say I come with a song tonight, but you're fortunate I'm not going to sing it. The key thing when I'm in a church is to leave us singing to other people. We're going to look at a song, Mary's song, in Luke chapter 1. It's been really great to be with you today. It's really great to have the children and have them involved, and even tonight have the children involved. It's really great, and it's been great to be a part of that, and having everybody involved. It's been great, and it's one of the great things about Christmas. And one of the great opportunities that we have as Christians is to share the good news at this Christmas time when everybody else is looking to try and think about joy. As Christians, we have a joy that's a real joy. It's a lasting joy. When people are looking at the lights and all the rest of it, we have the light of the world, the true light who brings life to everyone. And so many opportunities to share something of the Lord Jesus at this time of year. It's great. Just a pity we didn't have more opportunities like that, but we really need to make the best of these opportunities, especially in our societies today, where the message of the Lord Jesus has been minimised. And even in Christmas, the message of Jesus is getting minimised. One of the previous schools that I used to go into, I visited recently, and the head teacher was telling me they were having a big, huge discussion with some of the staff about whether it was okay to call Jesus the Son of God in the Nativity. And that's where we're at with our schools. And so it's also great to see the work in Darvel there and the Scripture Union group and so on. It's really brilliant. And so it's been a great encouragement for me to be with you today. It's been great to be with you. And I hope that maybe, as much as I've been encouraged, that maybe together we can get a bit of encouragement. We're going to look at Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. And just before we look at it, let me tell you what I want you to notice. I want you to see that when Mary sings her song, there's three things in particular that I want you to notice about how she talks about God. The first thing being in verse 48 about how she says that God is mindful, how God is mighty, and how God is merciful. And that's what we're going to look at together. Rather than focusing specifically on the Christmas message as such and looking at the birth of Jesus and so on, I want to look at this song from Mary. And see if we can bring these things out of it. That God is mindful, God is mighty, and God is merciful. Let's read Mary's song then in Luke chapter 1, and it's in verse 46. It's headed in the NIV, Mary's song, and then it says, "And Mary said," maybe she wasn't a very good singer either, I've got it myself. "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This, of course, was a song that she sung when she was with Elizabeth as they were sharing their joy together. I don't know how you would feel if you were a young girl like Mary, 14 years old, and God came to you and said, "I've got a big job for you, a big job. I want you to have a baby. And I want you to know that this baby is just not to be an ordinary baby. You've not to just become an ordinary mum. This baby is God's baby." In fact, the angel essentially makes it sure to Mary, and I'm sure she understood, that this baby was to be the promised child that had been promised for so long. And Mary is a young girl, I reckon maybe only 14, 15, whatever. She was given this task to carry God's son, to carry the promised Messiah that had been awaited for so long. And this young girl was given the opportunity to do this. She then goes on and she sings this song. Now, I don't know what your song would be like. I think my song would be something along the lines of, "Oh, how am I supposed to do this? Don't you realise I'm just a boy? I've got a life to lead. I'm still a teenager. I'm not meant to be having babies. I'm meant to be having a life." Or even just the sense of the sheer responsibility. And she was only 14 or 15 years old. It challenges me, you know, because we are in a society today where young people are not given a lot of responsibility. You know, it's almost like you're young, you know, when you're older, maybe when you're in your 40s. You know, you can get responsibility or whatever, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the workplace. But God chose Mary, just a little girl. And she chose her in a situation that wasn't perfect, because Mary, as we know, was only engaged. She wasn't married. But yet it was perfect for God. Her situation was perfect for God. And it was her that God chose, and it was her that God wanted to use. And Mary's reaction to that wasn't one of, let me out of here. This is too much for me. How am I going to cope with this? I'm going to need support. I'm going to need people around about me. No, she listened to her song. And she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. And the thing that strikes me about Mary's song and about Mary's reaction is it's a very personal reaction. And I like that. I like the fact that it's so personal. I like the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming into the world and God chooses this young girl. And it's all very personal. So when Mary comes and speaks to God, she doesn't come and say just that you are a great God and you're the Almighty and so on. But she uses this first pronoun, this, my soul glorifies. It's that personal reaction to a personal work that God is doing in our lives. And you know, that's something that we miss about Christmas. The story of Christmas is a personal story. It's a story for you and it's a story for me. Yes, as a group of people, as Christians together, it's a great story for us to rejoice in. But it's a story for you as an individual. It's a story for me as an individual. God had chosen to intervene in the world so that I could be his child. Now, you could say maybe I'm taking that a bit far. It was not just for me, and that's true. But as we sit down and we analyse and we think about what God has done, what is our reaction? That's great that God has done that for all these people. Or do we bow the knee like Mary did and say, God, that's so great that you have done that for me. You've done it for me. It was like Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One of my favourite songs over the years that I love to sing in worship is, what's the song again? Can't remember it. It talks about, you took the fall and thought of me above all powers, above all thrones. And I remember Linda was reading this article. It was either an article or a book, and she talked about how narcissistic we are in our society. Well, it's all about me, and about how our hymns can be very much this sort of, it's all about me, God loves me, and it's all me. And she highlighted this song. She said, you need to be very careful with songs like this, you know, that as Jesus is dying on the cross, as he was there on the cross, he thought, this is doing it for James McCurley. I think that's taking it a bit far. And when I sing that song, I don't think that. I don't think that when Jesus was on the cross, he was specifically thinking about me. I don't think he had time to think of all the millions of people individually who would all come to Christ through his work, who would all come to that relationship with God. But here's the truth of it. But that individually, not just as a group, as a society, as a community, but individually we've all come into the good of what God has done. What God had done through Mary in bringing the Lord Jesus was something for a huge number of people. But when Mary bowed down to worship, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. I wonder for you and me as we bow down this Christmas time, that we bow down to the Lord and say, my soul longs for you to be glorified, for what you have done for me. That when I look on what the Lord Jesus did when he came and he became a baby and God became man, that I should be able to share in the good of that. That should have such a positive effect on my life. That should allow me to become part of God's kingdom. And like Paul ultimately say, the Son of God who loved me and ultimately who gave himself for me. She says, my spirit rejoices. Not only is it a personal thing, but it's from deep. It's from deep. I think, going back to what I was saying about Mary and her situation, you know, this young lady, and I don't think she's spoken to Joseph yet about this situation. I mean, this was going to be really very, very difficult. Very difficult in her society. It would probably still be difficult in our society, even despite how, if you like, open our society is in these ways. For a young girl of 14 to go to her pals and to go to her parents and to go to her boyfriend and say, by the way, I'm pregnant. But in these days, for Mary to go to Joseph and say, I'm pregnant, and to go to her parents and say, I'm pregnant, and it's God's child, there must have been turmoil going on in her head. And so her life at this point wasn't all nice and sorted and nice and organized. The road ahead was probably looking quite troublesome. How this was all going to work out for her was a mystery. But yet, from deep within, she wanted to glorify the Lord. She says, my spirit rejoices. It's not just a smile on my face. It's a real joy that's from within. I am really touched by what God has done in my life. Is that true for me? Is that true for us? That as we come to think about Christmas and we come to think about what God has done and the sending of his Son, the Lord Jesus, that it's something that echoes deep within us. As we approach Christmas time, and as Christians approaching Christmas time, there can be various different things that can steal our happiness at Christmas time. Maybe it's the thought of those that we miss. It's the thought of maybe at times in our families, things that are not just quite right and families that are split. We'll have a young man and his son with us at Christmas Day, and he's been through a terrible time. Just a young Christian, split up from his wife in terrible circumstances, all horrible. And Christmas is a very difficult time for him. Things in his wider circle of family, very difficult. And he was really dreading Christmas, and sometimes even Christians can dread Christmas. But I want to ask you, is the joy of Christmas, is that a deep down thing? I can understand if Christmas is difficult for you because of family situations, because of hurts, because of loss. And Christmas can be difficult for so many, but is there a joy that's deep down? And so as we come to consider what God has done in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, it comes from deep. And we glorify the Lord, and we say, like, my soul rejoices. I might be having difficulty in the situation that I'm in just now. I might find pain, but ultimately my soul rejoices because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And she called him, God, my Saviour. That's really quite remarkable. Almost revolutionary. Almost. There were very few people that would come to God in prayer, come to God in a song, and say that he is my Saviour. But such was God's work in Mary's life, and God's interaction with Mary, that her response was that God is her Saviour. That personalisation. That's a wonderful thing that we can do as Christians, is personalise our relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, so many people are missing out on this. People will be going to church this Christmas time, and it's a great thing that people will go to church at Christmas time, and they're missing out on this joy that the Lord Jesus can not just be the babe in the manger, the Lord Jesus can be my Saviour who was born, my Saviour, the one who has made that difference in my life. And it's great that Mary was able to speak out in this way. He is my Saviour. He's the one who has touched me and brought me into this relationship. And it's my blessing. Now, the coming of the Lord Jesus was a blessing to so many people. And she goes on to talk about how it's a blessing to Israel and how it's a blessing to so many people and from generation to generation. But when she sings out to God, she personalizes this and she says, this is my blessing. Now, is this a blessing to Mary? If you were handed, I mean, we're coming into the new year, and maybe it's time that the responsibilities in the church were handed out to other people. You know, Chris is not leading the service next year. It's going to be... Let's just leave it with Chris. But I mean, compared to what Mary was asked to do, like, so leading a service is nothing compared to what Mary was asked to do. And yet she came back to God and she says, this is a blessing. Sometimes we get given hard responsibilities. One of the hardest responsibilities I've been given is not like speaking in a church. One of the hardest responsibilities is working with people whose lives are broken. Lives that are going through really difficult times. To draw alongside and try to bring a message of hope. Try and bring understanding. Try and bring support. And when you do that, when you really get involved in people's lives, it can break you as well. You can go home at night brokenhearted. You can go home frustrated. Because you've not got the control. If I could just sort that family out. And it can be difficult. And that can be the hardest thing. And I want to ask you, are you open to God to take on that big area of responsibility, whatever it happens to be? Are you the one that's going to put your hand up? And I don't really mean that you should come back to church in the new year and say, that's me, I'm ready for doing any job. But are you open to God to allow God to lead you in your life? And you're willing to say to God, God, whatever it is that you've got for me, I'll go for it. I'll take it on. This was just a young girl. What skills did she have? What abilities did she have to be able to bring up the one who would be God's child? And yet she said, I'm your servant. May it be whatever way you want it to be for me. And for her, what God was doing, and that big responsibility to her, it was a blessing. And so she says these three things that we started off with at the start. She says about God, she says he is mindful. What is he mindful of? Well, the first thing she says is he is mindful of the humble state of his servant. God is mindful. God sees us and God knows us. God knows what's exactly going on in our lives. Now, we know that to be a truth. We know that to be the case. But the thing that Mary was struck by was God knew how humble she was, that she was just an ordinary girl. Nothing extraordinary about her, in an ordinary family, in an ordinary circumstance, in an ordinary poor state. Nothing particularly extravagant or special particularly about her. But God knew that she was humble. And she was picked out. And in our days, we know people of God are picked out. We are chosen. One of the special things about knowing God and being in a relationship with God is coming to terms with this truth that we have not come to know God out of chance. We have not come to know God because we have worked to it, because we have aspired to achieve it. But we've come to know God because he's drawn us and he's chosen us. And it even says that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. And there's a sense in which we can get ourselves blown up about that. I've been chosen. I'm something, by the way. God chose me. I'm really something. I'm worth that God would choose me out. But Mary didn't go there. She said, you've been mindful, not of all my skills and abilities. That can sometimes, what we can get ourselves caught up in. Mary said, he saw the mindful state, the humble state of his servant. And of course, we take that into the New Testament, and we remind ourselves, I think it was Paul, wasn't it, that said, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And so when God chose us in the same way as Mary, he didn't pick us out because of all our talents, because of all our abilities, but rather he picked us out in his grace and in his mercy, and he chose us to be his own, and he's chosen to use us in his work. And so, God is mindful of the humble state of his servant. And so she knew her place. She knew her place. It was not to be this great big leader. And I think in these days it's a shame that over these generations Mary has become some sort of object of praise, because you see very clearly in this song that she did not set herself up to become an object of praise. She didn't set herself up to become some great spiritual leader. She says, I am a humble woman and I am your servant. And I do think it is a shame. I think it's almost unfair to Mary that she's been given this position that many people in our land would give her. Someone that you can pray to, someone that you can look to, someone who's the mother of God. Mary never set herself up to that. Mary was a servant who made herself available to God. And what we can learn from Mary is not so much that we can go to her and ask her to pray to God on our behalf or anything like that, but rather we can very much look to her example of someone who was willing to be used by God and someone who was a servant and someone who saw herself as being highly favoured. Do you see yourself as being highly favoured? Do you see yourself as being someone who's in a very fortunate position? You say, well, you don't know the life that I've been through. You don't know how difficult life has been for me. Favour is certainly something that's never came my way. But yet, when we come to know the Lord Jesus, and we recognise that our sins are forgiven, we recognise that we've been made clean and been made fresh and been made new, we recognise that we've become part of God's family, we recognise that we've been given a hope of what we're thinking about much this morning, a hope and a future. When we recognise that we have a relationship with Christ that can never in any way be dented, never be severed, and is secure for eternity. When we recognise that we have a hope that is steadfast and certain, as the song says. When we recognise that Jesus is preparing a home for us, and that our life is not empty, it has meaning and purpose, then we realise, like Mary, highly favoured. Highly favoured people. Life might be tough. There's a sense in which, as God's people, life should be tough. If we have to represent the Lord Jesus in this society, then life should be tough. Should be hard going. Because God doesn't want us to sit with our clean hands and our comfortable environments. There's a sense in which I feel absolutely passionate that God wants us to get out there and get our hands dirty and get in amongst the mess of which is people's lives and be involved in it. And you know, it's a highly favoured position to be God's representative, to be a light from God in a dark generation, a highly favoured position. And yes, it's tough, and yes, it's hard, and yes, it's frustrating at times, but it's also a great privilege. We are, the New Testament would tell us, Christ's ambassadors. Want to be an ambassador? Maybe in Mauritius, or, well, maybe God will call you to that. But you know what? He's calling you now to be an ambassador just here in Darvel or New Milnes in the place where we work and with our neighbours. He's calling us to be his representative in our situation. Mary says, I am highly favoured that God would choose me, even although I'm just a wee humble, insignificant person. We are highly favoured that God should choose us to be his representative in our situation. She says that God is mighty. God is mighty. The mighty one, she calls him. God is mighty. God is amazing. God is so powerful. We think about, obviously, his power in creation. But you know, when we really think about him being mighty, we've got to really catch it in the way that Mary caught it. That God is mighty. He is the mighty one, and he has done great things for me. That's what she says. He is the mighty one. He has done great things for me. What has he done for you, Mary? He's brought her into this promise. He's brought her into this relationship with himself such that she has been granted this great responsibility. He, she says, is mighty. She has a sense of his wonder. She has a sense of his almighty power. But to her, not only is he mighty because of that great power, but he is mighty because of the way in which he has involved her. The song says, what a mighty God we serve. And at this Christmas time, it's good to remember that the God that we serve is mighty. He's mighty in his person, who he is. He is, she says, the mighty one. He is almighty and he is all powerful. And as we approach the new year in a week's time, after you've danced the night away and you approach the new year, and maybe you make New Year's resolutions, and maybe you think, next year I'm going to really be involved in this, and I'm going to be involved in that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to step out, and I want this to happen, and I want that to happen. How are these things going to be real? How are we going to be better for the Lord next year than they were this year? Well, be like Mary and rely on God's mighty power. How can I read the Bible in a year There was that big thing in the church last year and everybody was involved in it and I still didn't manage it. How am I going to manage it next year? Well, go out to try and do it and trust in the mighty God to help you. Because he is, Mary says, mighty. He is the mighty one, but not as only is he mighty in his person, but he's mighty in deeds. He has done mighty deeds. He has done great things for me. And so as we come before God with our situations, whether it be situations in our own lives or situations in the lives of others, and we come before God, he is the mighty one and he does great things. And he does great things in us and he does great things through us. And so let's look to God as we approach this new year. This is a great time, certainly, of refreshing. Not much going on in the church over this week. And I hope you get a chance to refresh, but I hope you also get a chance at some point to just look to the God again and say, God, I want you to do mighty things in me. I want you to work in my heart and work in my life. I want to be used by you, and I ask that you would do mighty things through me. Touching people's lives, changing people's situations, encouraging people, challenging people, that your person as the mighty one might be seen in the way that you work in me and the way that you work through me. And last but not least, Mary would say, God is merciful. Maybe as you look back over the last year, if you're like me, you'll maybe shake your head and say, oh dear. Failed again, Jamie boy. God is merciful. Work with a lot of people with difficult situations. Maybe your situation is difficult. Maybe you've got a background or whatever, or you're involved with people with a background that make life just difficult. Make an ongoing living difficult. And you get caught up in different things, and you're caught up maybe in things that you shouldn't get caught up in. You get involved with things that you shouldn't get involved in. And you fail. And you let yourself down. God is merciful. God forgives. Isn't it wonderful? God is willing to forgive us. Mary says God is merciful. Merciful because he chooses a simple person to be a very responsible person in his kingdom. And sometimes he chooses very broken people, very messed up people, to be great people for him. God is merciful. He forgives. Maybe you think, well, my life has actually been quite easy in terms of my background. And so when it comes to it, I've actually got no excuse for my behaviour. God is merciful. Whether it be that you feel that God can't forgive you because I've got no excuse for my behaviour, or whether it is that you have mighty failings because of the terrible background that you've had, we come together to a merciful God who forgives. And he's a God who gives second chances. God is merciful. He's chosen us not because of our great abilities, because of our great strengths. He's chosen us because we are weak. He's not chosen us because we're so wise. He's chosen us because we're foolish. And he wants to use us. And he is merciful. Even in our stupidity, he can use us. Even in our weakness, he can use us. Because he's merciful to those who fear him. The most dangerous position I often think to be in as Christians is that when we think we can do it, you know, when we really think we can do it, oh, I can do that. I can transform this. I'll give that job to me. I'll get this well sorted. No, we know God in his power, we know God in his mercy when we come before him and we say, I can't do this, I'm not up to the task, because he is merciful to those who fear him, those who come before God and say, I need you, would you help me in this situation? And he's merciful from generation to generation, and so because he was merciful last year, we can have faith and trust that he'll be merciful to next year. Because he's been merciful to the generation that have gone before, we can have trust that he'll be merciful in this generation, he'll be merciful in the following generation. He's a God of mercy. He's one who, Mary says, has filled the hungry. Was that a passion in Mary that the people who were dying of starvation would be fed? I believe what she means is something a bit more than that. That those who are looking for more in their life, those who are looking for deeper meaning, those who are looking for deeper significance in their life, God can fill that and God can use that. And those who are willing to open up their life to Him, even although they're only young, even although they're only poor, even although they seem so insignificant, but they're hungry. They want more of the Lord. They're hungry. They want more of being involved in His things. He fills. She says, I was hungry to do more for you. You filled me. You fill the hungry with good things. To Abraham's descendants, keeping His promise. And of course, Mary was able to look back and say, it's happening. It's happening. We've been waiting for years and years and years, far too long. There's a sense in which most of the nation has given up hope. Most of the nation have gone off and started at various different times to go astray and to worship idols and all sorts of things. But God is keeping His promise, Mary says. God is keeping His promise. And He's using me to do it, she says. He's using me. He promised the generation so many generations ago, He promised. And now He's keeping His promise. I don't know if you've felt in 2017 God's been a bit slow. A bit slow in these things. Some of you know that the church that I was in, things came to a close in the summer. For me, the church is still going. There's rumours going about the church is closed, but it's not. I don't get to close the church, you know. I'm not that powerful. But in leaving the church leaves you in a bit of limbo. And when I left in July, I was expecting an answer in September. You know? Expecting God to direct me exactly the way I should go in September. If not September, surely October. Well, now we're coming to the turn of the year. And there's possibilities. But still, God's not made it totally clear to me. And I don't know if you're like me, impatient. Want God to tell me the answer now. And I am impatient. I know I'm impatient. It's one of the things I regularly come before God and say to Him, I'm sorry, I'm impatient. But would you just tell me? Maybe you're like that. God keeps His promises. We were able to trust God in years gone past. We were able to trust God in 2017. And we can trust God in 2018. Because God is mindful. He knows us. He knows what we're like. He knows all about us. He knows what's going on at times in our head that we wouldn't like to share with other people. God is mindful. God is mighty. He's powerful and He's able. God is merciful. When we fail, we can trust that He will forgive. And we can trust Him to keep His promises in the days that lie ahead. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing story. But not just a story, of course, but reality of how You chose just a young girl to take on this amazing responsibility of carrying Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and then giving birth to Him, and then caring for Him as a wee tiny baby. In these vulnerable days of feeding Him and changing Him and bathing Him and doing all these things that she would have had to have done, along with Joseph. And even all that journey she had to take, and then escaping to Egypt, and all that responsibility that You gave such a young girl. We thank You that even in our day, and in this generation, You still commit responsibility to vulnerable people, to young people, to people who are weak, to people who at times might be considered to be broken. You're willing to give responsibility to them. And we pray that our reaction might be the same as the reaction that Mary had, and simply be one that I am Your servant. May it be to me as You desire. Father, as we look forward to 2018 in just a week's time, we thank You that we can continue to trust You. We thank You as well that as we continue to look to our life ahead and look for change and look for things to progress, that we can call on You and trust in You, that You'll continue that good work in our life because You've promised to do so. That He who begun a good work in us will continue it to completion. And we pray, Father, that that input that we maybe get the opportunity to give into other people's lives, that we can trust You to work not only in our own life, but in the life of others. Father, we just do pray that You'll impress us with this song of Mary, that You are mindful of us, that You are merciful. And not only are You merciful, but You are the mighty God, the all-powerful one, who can really make it happen. So we bow before you, asking for your blessing. Bless us this Christmas time, we pray. Bless us as families. Bless the church together and the times that they share, that we might know something of your joy and peace this Christmas time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.